Jamie Locker with you here on a Wednesday afternoon on the Green Zone. Good to hear from Dolly today, Locker.
She is okay, everyone. Relax. She's fine.
Well, there's a little concern after the
post from her sister.
Post from her sister and everything else. So, but she's saying she's fine for Dolly. That's good news. She's still
good
working,
news.
Doing advertising
yeah.
for the Grand Ole Opry, all that other stuff. So there you have it. If you she's
read anything online concerning Dolly Parton, she's okay. She's kicking country butt and taking names.
As for the Toronto Blue Jays, a little bit concerned.
Yeah, a little bit.
Each and every day, we begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines. And yeah.
High in the air, deep down the left field line, and it's off the foul pole. A three-run homer, and the game is tied.
Yes, the New York Yankees off a big shot from Aaron Judge. That tied the game. Then they go on to win 9-6 over the Toronto Blue Jays.
It was a good start.
Oh, it was 6-1.
Yeah.
I was walking out of the rink. My dentist was walking into the rink. No word of a lie. This is a true story. And I was like, Adam, how's it going? Good. Just watching the Jays game. I'm like, what's the score? 4-1. I'm like, whoo, sweet baby. Let's go. Then I got home. It was 6-1. I'm like, oh, this looks good. Then it just went off the rails for the Toronto Blue Jays. So we'll see. It's a bullpen game today. That means Varlin starts. He's a relief pitcher. He's going to pitch one, yeah. two, maybe three innings. Lauer's probably going to come in at some point, pitch two, three innings, as they do not have a designated starter, a fourth designated starter for this series. Well, he sucks. He gives up 7 runs in the first inning, like, for the last 4 games, it seems.
Yeah.
Although I'm like, with the veteran savvy, would you wish you just had him to maybe try to go 4 or 5 innings deep? But because depending on how many pitchers they use, I know with the day's rest, everybody should be available for game 5. But we'll see how it, do you think it goes to 5 or do you think it ends in 4 tonight?
I thought it would go 5 last week, so I'm yeah. still sort of on that train. As much as I want the Jays to win, please don't text me hate mail. I just want to make sure that I get that out there.
First pitch tonight is 5:08 Saskatchewan time.
Did they move that game up?
An hour earlier than it was last night. It is a 5:08 start in New York City because there's 4 games tonight.
Yeah.
The Dodger game will have the late start with the
that
Phillies as they try to sweep away. Meanwhile, the Mariners, they are up 1-0. They're trying to get past the Tigers right now. The Brewers and Cubbies start at 3:08 for a playoff baseball.
All right, and last night, opening night in the NHL.
Leading in Samuskevich out in front. Score! The Panthers have the lead.
And they score. Face-off, Justin Brazeau, his first goal as a Penguin, and Pittsburgh has the lead.
So we'll start things off with the Blackhawks 2 and the Panthers 3. That was the banner-raising night for Florida. Just a quick heads up on anyone that cheers for the Blackhawks. Your team is awful. Settle in. It's going to be another horrible year for you.
If it wasn't for Spencer Knight, that game is about 10-2.
That's an awful team. Yeah, I am sorry, Blackhawk fans. You might want to maybe pick another team. Penguins 3, Rangers nothing. Shutout for the rebuilding Pittsburgh Penguins. That's going to upset Kyle Dubas.
And third string or maybe fourth string goaltender of the Vancouver Canucks, Artur Shelov's got the shutout for the Penguins last night. Because
watch Sid put that team on his back and get him into the playoffs.
Penguin fans, don't get used to victories of 3-0. That's my warning shot after. Don't get used to this.
And the Avs look good. 4-1 over the Kings. A quick shout out to the Kings' new third jersey from our producer, Scotty, who is a big fan.
A big fan of the Kings. And they didn't even like tease it or anything. They just showed up in new threads last night.
I like that.
I think everybody should do it that way from now on.
I get the teaser,
put it on social media, just boom.
Yeah.
New jerseys right now.
Does it have more of an impact when you do it that way than it if you tease
no
it?
No idea, but I just think it's a lot more fun.
Okay. All right.
Of course, a couple of Canadian teams take to the ice tonight.
Scores! Austin Matthews!
Lane Hudson scores! Hudson! What a shot!
Now Draisaitl scores! Leon Draisaitl!
Nazem Kadri tees it up, gets it back, scores!
Yeah, you got the Flames and the Oilers tonight. Battle of Alberta at 8 o'clock tonight. And then, of course, it is the original six rivalry. The tradition continues. The Montreal Canadiens against the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's the early game at 5 o'clock. Jays against the Leafs at 5 o'clock tonight on your television.
Yeah, it's a tough one for the Leafs.
But we'll see how that one goes. By the way, for the Flames, Jonathan Huberdeau, of course, put on injured reserve to start the season after that collision with the Vancouver goaltender and the post in the preseason game. So Huberto starts the season on the injured reserve for the Calgary Flames.
And big news for Jets fans, Kyle Connor is staying in the Peg.
Hi there, welcome to KFC.
Hi, can I get a Kyle Connor extension, please?
For sure, coming right up.
I wonder what you get when you go to KC 8 years for 96 mil.
What's your
order?
Get
a bucket?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the supersized bucket.
So 8 years, $96 million, that works out to $12 million a year. That's a nice contract for that player. I think that, and that's in line. We're having all these conversations about Kaprizov signing for a ridiculous amount of money and Connor agreeing to 12.5. This is a contract that I think makes sense for the franchise, for the player, and I like the fact that he buys into the whole KFC thing.
Yeah. If Kyle Bleep and Connor,
You're in Winnipeg and you see somebody with a KFC bucket on their heads, they're a hockey fan.
They are cheering for Kyle Connor, no doubt about that. And Winnipeg Jet fans in Winnipeg, they're dunking on the whole "nobody wants to play in Winnipeg" narrative today. Even the Jets social media account was bury that narrative because Hellebuck, Scheifele, Connor, Velarde, Morrissey,
Taves,
they're all signing in Winnipeg where they could play anywhere they wanted in free agency. Build a good culture, a winning culture, and it doesn't matter what city you play in, players will want to play there. Meanwhile, let's get to the Rough Riders getting ready for the Toronto Argonauts, but don't take them lightly.
Whoever's out there has definitely got something to play for. So I don't care how you cut it. That head coach and that staff have won a lot of games, and so have those players. So we got to be on it.
Of course, the Argonauts were eliminated from playoff contention last week. They put Nick Arbuckle on the one-game injured list. So Jarrett Daggy looks to be the starter on Friday night. Under the lights, lights out game, obsidian green jerseys on for the Riders and the Argos. And, of course, a win means they clinch first in the West Division.
I thought it was interesting. We had Belton on, our regular Monday hit after the weekend. And he was, like, a little hesitant on this game.
He was.
And we pushed him on it. We're like, what's going on? Like, what's wrong? It's the Argos. It's, like, the third string quarterback. And he goes, it's Dinwiddie. He's scared of Dinwiddie,
the head coach.
Yeah.
And after what he did when they beat the Edmonton Elks, I think a lot of opposing coaches might also be scared of Ryan Dinwiddie.
Yeah.
Although Corey Mace did joke about that a couple of weeks ago, saying he was all ready for Dinwiddie because they're moving to opposite sidelines. He's like, I was getting ready to take him on because they're buds. He was on the Argos coaching staff with them. So we'll see what those lineups look like tomorrow. The injury report coming out a little bit later on. Sean Bain Jr. is going to be joining us here on the Green Zone this afternoon, as will Chris Cuthbert. You'll want to hear what Chris has to say, not only about the Canadian teams in the NHL before puck drop tonight, but we do ask about the CFL rule changes. And if you're a fan of what Nathan Rourke had to say, I think you're going to be a fan of what Chris Cuthbert thinks of the CFL rule changes, as he's called the CFL for decades
before
he went to Sportsnet.
It's not so much his opinion of the rule changes. It's his thought process behind the motivation of it. That's what struck me.
And we're going to see if you agree with him a little bit later on. Chris Cuthbert, 3:05, here on the Green Zone. Of course, he calls the Leafs and the Habs tonight, if anybody will be watching, because the Blue Jays are on at the same time. Jays fans, how you feeling? Some Jays fans in the building today were down in the dumps, Locker. They're like, it's over. They're going to lose. I'm like, what are we doing? I was the they're done guy, and I'm trying to cheer them up, going, it's going to be fine. They're going to win game five. May not win today against the
game
pitcher.
Game five at home, Friday night.
You want to pronounce the pitcher's name for the Yankees tonight, their starter, or do you want me to handle that one? Or
what
do you,
Schiffler?
No, there's an L in there. Schlittler.
Schlittler.
There you go.
There you go.
Don't need the CRTC after us this afternoon here on 980 CJME and 650 CKLM. Whoosh. Well, some more NHL news to pass along. Jack Eichel has now just signed a contract extension with the Vegas Golden Knights. So they're just all waiting for Connor McDavid to sign. And then they're like, okay, then we'll sign. Because Kyle Connor signed earlier today, 8 years, $12 million. Jack Eichel, 8 years, $13.5 million per season with the Vegas Golden Knights. So he and Mitch Marner are going to be playing hockey together for a while.
That deal makes sense to me as well. That one lines up with what you'd think it would be. I wonder, everyone was talking about the Kirill Kaprizov deal and what that would mean for, you know, contracts. And then everyone said, okay, well, now what does the Connor McDavid deal? I think the Connor McDavid deal had more impact on these final offers than
I imagine a lot of these were already in the desk.
Yeah.
I don't think it was. The money would have changed much when Connor came
in. Does the Connor deal take the wind out of the sails of a guy like Kyle Connor, who goes, I was going to ask for 15, but now
I can't take more. I don't think so.
Jack?
I go back to the Sidney Crosby 8.7. Everyone, he could have made $4 million than that. What's he doing? And other guys kept signing for more money than Sidney Crosby was making. So it's what you negotiate. It's not what you're worth. And
I don't know. I think these deals have an impact.
Well, ask Drew Remenda if he thinks they had any impact at all. If they waited and the agent went, darn it. Okay, we won't take 15. We'll take 13.5 for Jack Eichel, as that contract just announced from the Vegas Golden Knights. Jays fans, how you feeling going into tonight's game four? You've been hearing the phrase, it's a bullpen game, relief pitchers. They only had three starters. You Savage, Bieber last night, and of course, Kevin Gausman will get the ball if necessary in game number five. They didn't have Max Scherzer. Chris Bassett clearly wasn't quite healthy yet.
Yeah, he's
so
hurt.
They'll go with a bunch of relief pitchers today, starting with Varland, who gave up two home runs last night. Thinking, that's the guy?
Well, we talked about this earlier.
Less than 24 hours after he gave up two dingers, you're putting him on the mound?
Judd,
it's going to be 5-0 after the bottom of the first. 5-0. You heard it here first.
No one hits that ball that Varland threw in there. It was 99 inside.
Aaron Judge hit it. Bing! Right off the foul post.
Aaron Judge is a freak. He's a freak of nature.
5:08 first pitch. Let's get to the one-minute drill. Jamie and Locker with the year on a Wednesday afternoon on the Green Zone. Coming up, 3:05, Chris Cuthbert will rejoin us. Had a great conversation with Chris ahead of night one for him in the broadcast booth. Of course, he'll be calling the Leafs and the Habs. And I couldn't resist. I had to ask him about the CFL rule changes.
Well, you had to.
He would call
with his history with the
CFL,
game.
I'm like, what are you thinking, Chris? And there's one part of his answer that Locker and I
we
looked
were
at
both
each other
like,
and
went, what? Hey, all right.
You'll want to stay tuned for that. 305, Chris Cuthbert here on the Green Zone. Of course, our NHL analyst, Drew Remenda. And we usually Britain's later in the show, but Daryl's coming into studio at 508, of course, Brewer fan. So we needed to keep them as far away from each other as possible.
Yeah.
Made Get sense. The latest news on your team from the Green Zone.
The Daily Blitz with Brittany Gray.
I don't like your Cubby's chances in this series.
No.
Britton, you talked a big game going in against the Brewers, but
I don't have confidence in your team.
They're going to get swept. They might get swept.
Based on what you said, I can just leave when I'm done here, right?
You don't want to
Daryl's coming. Daryl, I can just
You know
leave.
he's going to be wearing his golden blue shirt. He's going to be wearing that beautiful Brewers lid. Which one? I'm not sure. He's got a couple of them.
Which, by the way, there's an
M and a B
M in it.
Locker was almost.
Did you not know that?
No, Locker, he didn't. Need,
I just did we go through all the logos and tell you every little hidden thing?
We probably should, actually.
The Minnesota Wild logo is a bear, Locker. Have you seen that?
It's a bear.
Okay, hold
look
on.
It up.
I gotta look that one up. Okay.
I thought
the Brewers was just the glove.
It is, with an M and a B in it for the right. Milwaukee Brewers.
Well, it was lost on me until last week.
Great logo.
By the way, yeah. can I ask you a question? If you were to fight Daryl, who's coming out on who's victorious in that fight?
I don't know. I'll tell you, Locker. I think I have 30 years on Daryl Davis, maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, old man strength.
He's got 30 years of dad strength that you don't have. Dad strength is a real deal. So
it's a myth.
Okay.
Like the Oilers' chances at winning a cup.
Okay. Wow.
Sorry, I tried to take a shot. I just had to think of something. It wasn't great.
There is some hostility over here. Okay.
More likely than Las Vegas Raiders' chances of winning.
I do think if I'm putting my money down, I might be putting it on Daryl. I hate Britton. I enjoy your moxie, but I think Daryl.
I think you underestimate me a lot, Locker.
I think Daryl's could be mean.
I think there is 0% chance that ever happens.
They're both never fighting each other.
No, but I don't see either of them ever in a fight. To be quite honest,
one could dream.
Let's go to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Hey, for pay per view. Everyone has a price.
Yeah. You can be the start of a Jake Paul pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Let's get to the Riders story. Getting ready for Toronto. Belton was on Monday, and he's like, Belton, what do you think? Clinch first. And he went,
I was like, what?
What are you doing?
Toronto's no good. What are we doing here? Do you have concerns about this Rider team going into Friday and not being able to clinch first?
Is there a concern? Sure, because they're dealing with some defensive back injuries, but the Argos are starting Jarrett Daggy, their third-string quarterback. I'd have to look at the injury report. I don't think they're dealing with injuries to their offense right now. That's a beat-up team. That's a team, yeah, they're playing for jobs, and I get that, but they just want to get to the end of the season. These guys are done. Get through it. Plus, it's starting to get a little bit cold in Saskatchewan. You know, but yeah. I don't think they want to be here.
Coxie didn't participate in practice yesterday. We haven't gotten today's yet. Lanier, McFadden, Winton McManus did not participate. Mekhi Polk, the receiver that came back from the NFL.
So they've been bitten by the injury bug as well. Yeah. Is it legitimately concerning, though? For like Belton's, he was like, it's Dinwiddie. It's the coach. It's how he manages his teams. Mm-hmm. There's something to that.
Yeah, there is, especially with someone like Ryan Dinwiddie. Now, I'm not going to say he's Kyle Shanahan or anything like that, but Kyle Shanahan, it's a similar thing. No matter who the quarterback is, he gets good play out of them. Dinwiddie's been able to turn Nick Arbuckle from a journeyman quarterback who was retired into a full-time starter of this league and putting up MOP numbers this season.
Yeah.
The system works. He's good at getting the best out of his quarterbacks, but just the other injuries. And the team just wasn't that good with everyone they lost. I just don't see how this Riders team. Well, sure, there's a route where they lose. I'm not going to say I'm not doing guaranteed win night, but this team is ready to go clinch first because they know how important that will be.
What are you, chicken? Come on, do it. Come on, say it. Come Guaranteed on. Win.
I'll leave that for you on the pregame show.
Not Jamie. A you... chance. I am done doing any guarantees around a Rough Rider victory. I don't need the hate mail. I don't need the texts. Yep. People honking by my house at 2 a.m. to
Please
keep me up at night. I'm not doing that anymore with guarantees for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
They'll hunt you down.
Yeah, I'm well aware. So that's none of that.
Kicking game. Where are we here?
Oh, is there a story about the kickers?
Well, I've heard some rumblings.
Let me say, I blame Jamie Nye, the factor in week 19, talking about kicker, because in preseason, he refused to have the conversation, Locker. You remember? Yeah. Well, the kicking and punting. I'm not talking about kicking and punting. There's no reason to put anyone out there, he said. Now this team has five kickers on their
roster. Hey, if you're going to quote me,
Hold on.
If he's going to quote me correctly. This is what I said on the Blitz podcast when he was like, what about the punting game? I'm like, punting? Who cares about the punt? He was talking about the punting game. I said, you can shake a tree in Australia and find a new punter for this team. Don't worry about the punting game. They'll figure that out. And Mirko's here. They figured it out. He's a good punter. I was right, after all.
Hey, it man, whatever you need to tell though. Yourself.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, Lucky, question about the kicking game.
So it was closed practice today, but it's not like you can't pick up a couple of things from how, you know, players are coming off the field, maybe what helmet they're carrying underneath their arm, that type of thing. What can you tell us about? Well, listen, what's your best guess for what the kicking game is going to look like on Friday?
My best guess is that it's going to be Brett Lawther, because he was out there until the end of practice. It was closed. We don't get to watch it, but we get to go out there once cool down starts, when they're done everything. And Brett Lawther did walk off at the end. That tells me he at least was there the entire time, unlike the previous days where he's left early and had to go get treatment. He was out there. If he's ready to go, I think they roll him out there. But I will say, it was Michael Hughes who was working after practice, doing some kicks, getting that used to it. So it feels like this might be a game time decision where Brett Lawther, if he's good to go, go with him. If not, they might give it to the American kid who just got here, because it's kicking. You don't need a lot of practice to do it.
He could have tweaked something, right? Like there was a conversation that maybe there
don't
wasn't
an
injury.
Daryl's going to come in here and call you out again.
I listen
about actually believing there was a back injury, although I'm starting to believe there was probably something wrong with Brett Lawther.
Okay.
Because yesterday, weren't you saying he looked uncomfortable?
Even walking off today, still look a little gingerly. It doesn't look like a normal, a normal walk. It's a little bit of something there. So I think he did tweak something.
So we'll keep an eye. We haven't seen the official designation yet from the Rough Riders. Probably going to come out in the next little bit. But, of course, there's a lot of concern, as you mentioned, about the secondary. When it comes to guys signing, Nafis Lyon comes in, and he might have to start. And Tavon Campbell is still limited over 2 days for this Rough Riders secondary. We're expecting not to see Roland Milligan, right, play. Maybe not Marcus Sales play. Is this a secondary that Josh Bell is going to be able to duct tape together and look like a cohesive unit? Because we saw what happened when they had two new starting corners a couple of weeks ago against Montreal, and they were lit up by McLeod Bethel-Thompson.
I think so, because when you look at who it could be, Benny Sapp, he started near a handful of games now. You're having less concern, and he's been really good. When he's been starting out there, you're less concerned about him. Redwine, a little concerned because you haven't seen it for a full game, but he does come with that NFL experience. He is a veteran. He's not some 22-year-old straight out of college. Some faith there. And then if it's Nafis Lyon, who I do believe that if Tavon Campbell can't go, they will once again just reconfigure the ratio and do what they did last week. I believe he will play. He's a four-year veteran in this league. He's won Grey Cup. He's been a contributor on winning teams. So I think that's why they went out and got him, was just in case they need someone to do it and come in quick. It's better to have a guy who knows the speed, who's defended the waggle and knows everything, instead of some new guy and trying to teach him. So I think they'll be able to do it, because these are veterans, not always in the CFL, but they're veterans at playing football. It's not just guys right out of college.
So last week, leading into Friday, an away game, the Riders are in Ottawa. They're
matching up with a team that loses two, that's lost two. The Riders have lost two, right? You got a bye week. But there was a conversation about how important it was to get back on track for the Riders last week. Now you got a team coming in. You got a win under your belt, but you have a chance now to secure first place in the West, a first round bye in the playoffs. Is this game this Friday, in your mind, have more weight than last week's game?
Oh, that's interesting. I don't think so. I think it was more important for them to find a way to win in Ottawa than this week because you had to get off the slide. I know we're far and away from it going on another 7-game winless streak, but that's happened two previous seasons. And once you get to 3 losses in a row and 4, and then it really starts to weigh on that team. The way they answered finally, a big win, it was important win to kind of get to this magic number down to 1. I think it was very important they ended the streak last week before this started to snowball as it has in previous seasons with this group.
We'll see how it goes. Friday night, Mosaic Stadium. The Obsidian Green jerseys will be on.
That's Britain, good luck.
Britain prefers that they were all black. He wanted all black jerseys. The all black jersey. I appreciated the different shade of, even though it's close to black.
You gotta have
it is
a bit
different
of green.
Thing.
You gotta.
Nope. You know you don't. Could have went all black. One day, we will get the throwback blacks. I believe. One day.
You don't.
And I
need
won't
them.
Stop until we see that day.
Okay. You're gonna start. Walking outside Elphinstone during game days.
Protesting.
Bring back the black jerseys.
I hope it never reaches that point, Jamie, but if it needs to be done, it needs to be done.
Obsidian Green night at Mosaic Stadium. Lights out against the Argos. 7 o'clock kickoff. The Green Zone pregame show begins at 5 o'clock on Friday. You get to go home early again on Friday.
Yeah! Things are coming up, Walker!
And I think next Friday, Woo! Too, there's another Friday game. I need a new agent. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Ipswich Farm remembers.
Jordan, open. Chicago with the lead.
It is Joe Sakic scores. Gio Sakic scores.
Better promise me I'll be back.
Each and every day, we take a look back, and it's the best pitching performance in the history of baseball. It happened on this day, October the 8th, 1956. It was Game 5 of the World Series. It was the Brooklyn Dodgers against the New York Yankees. And on the mound that day for the Yankees was Don Larsen.
Got it.
Don Larsen pitches a perfect game in a World Series, game number 5. The Yankees, of course, go on to win that series in 7 games. And, of course, the image of Yogi Berra leaping into Don Larsen's arms lived on in infamy, so to speak. So Don Larsen's perfect game, 1956 World Series. He, of course, and Roy Halladay, the only pitchers to pitch no-hitters. Roy Halladay, we celebrated that one a couple of days ago on the 15th anniversary of his no-hit in the postseason.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, Don Larsen, the other, with the perfect game on this day, October the 8th in 1956. Meanwhile, we're just talking about the injury report, Locker.
Did it come down?
And we know who is out officially for Friday's game. Tavon Campbell out. Jackson Ford is out. Nelson Lacombo is out. Roland Milligan Jr. also out. So four members of the secondary. Then you have Marcus Sales listed as available again, like he did last week. He didn't practice at all, but then he played against the Ottawa Red Blacks. And we also have questionable for both Brett Lawther and Dante Myers, the receiver who just went over 1,000 yards.
So he is fighting something.
Yeah, so Brett Lawther is questionable after being limited at practice today. So we'll see what the depth chart looks like tomorrow. Might be a game-time decision for the Riders kicker
unless they go with the new American kid that just arrived in Saskatchewan yesterday.
I think this is another one of those situations we had last week where it's like, okay, we got this kid, Campbell Fair. How's he going to fare? Let's throw him out there. Didn't go well. We bring in another guy. Listen, we've got some time. We got...
If Brett can go, I'd have Brett kick.
Yeah?
Clinch it, and then let the American guy go for the last 2 weeks to see what this kid does getting ready for the playoffs. That's how I'd handle it. Daryl, I'm sure, will have an opinion at 5:05 today.